ask for your prayers this morning. I sure need them. Need the Lord to bless His Word here. I'm thankful. Thankful to be here. Thankful for the meeting. I've enjoyed it. It's always worth, to me, any little sacrifice we can make or miles we can drive if the Lord will meet with us. I'm thankful, too, that we do serve a miracle-working God. I'm thankful that what we do is not in vain. Whenever we pray, whenever we come before God, it's not into a statue of gold. Been in the, had occasion before to see the inside of a Hindu temple and the gods that they have set up and the different gods that they'll entreat and they'll bring offerings before, but I've never known of one to be able to work a miracle. I thank the Lord that we serve a living God that's able to still work miracles in the day and time that we live in. I have a burden that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart to leave with you about being fully persuaded. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning in the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now this took place some time after Jesus began His earthly ministry. If you'll remember at the times that the Lord would work a miracle, that He would heal the blind, He would deliver those that were bound by spirits, and He would at times tell them, "You go and tell no man." But it was amazing how quickly the word would get out. And there would be multitudes that would begin to follow after Him and seek out, "Who is this man? I've never heard of this kind of thing being done before. I want to see this. I want to be able to have something more than just hearsay account. I'm not satisfied to just hear or tell of this. I want to see this for myself." And so there had been opportunity for word to get out, and no doubt many of the groups and the outlying villages and neighborhoods, no doubt this had been the talk of the town, if you will, of what this man called Jesus had done. And so Jesus, turning to His disciples, those that followed Him, asked a question that I don't believe was for His own benefit. I don't believe Jesus was trying to take a public opinion poll here. I don't believe He was trying to gauge what people thought of Him so that He would know. Satan tried to bring that into question himself. "If thou be the Son of God, if you are, then you cause the stones to be turned into bread." He had no doubt in who He was. He had no question. He was secure in that, in who He was, the Son of God. But He asked this question for their own sakes and their own consideration. You've been around, you've been into the village and the neighborhoods, and maybe this was something that had been weighing on their own minds. "I've heard this. I've heard some that say that," and maybe they're educated, they're ones with much learning, "that we can tell that this is a prophet. We can tell that this is who He is, and that's who He is. We know that there's something special about this man." And there were all kinds of ideas and theories of who He was. Jesus asking them then of your own minds, "Of the things that you've heard, of all that you've heard around you, I want to bring it down now to where you're at. I want you to consider within yourself. You've seen the miracles that I've worked. You've seen the things that I've done. You've heard the things that people on the other hand are saying. And so now I ask you, what say you? What do you say? Who do you say that I am?" With all of the noise and the ideas and the theories of men behind you, now you come to the point that I want you to answer for yourself. You know the Lord wants every one of us to come to that point in our lives, that we have, as we heard about last night, that experience and relationship for myself. That it's not just what I've heard say, it's not just what I've heard people tell about. I'm not just basing my experience or my faith on hearsay, but I've seen this and I've experienced. Amen. Lord, I've seen who You are. And Peter, in answering, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Lord, I've seen the works that You've done. I've been with You long enough to see how whenever you speak words, they're not just men's words, but it witnesses to my spirit, Lord. You're more than man. You're more than a prophet. The Jews, the Pharisees, those of the time held the prophets in great esteem. Elijah, they held Moses in great esteem. Abraham, they called their father and put great stock in that. But if you'll remember in the Mount of Transfiguration, as the three disciples were there and the Lord was transfigured before them and appeared with them also Elijah and Moses, they had respect unto that. And Peter answering, I believe it was Peter, said, it would be good that we erect a monument or a place here that we could worship. For there are holy men of God that are here before us. And there came a voice out of heaven that said, no, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. Now the time has come, the culmination of history to this point. This moment in time, it was all pointing to this man, Jesus Christ. Now I want you to hear Him. I want you to hear the words that He has to say unto you. They're words of life. The days of the prophets, they're behind us now. Scripture says that you're not coming to the mountain that's burned with fire. You're not coming to the place that trembles and the earthquakes and the thunderings. No longer is that how I want to speak to you in this time. Hebrews 1 and the first verse. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Divers manners in divers places. So many times and so many ways that the Lord spoke unto man. That the Lord would speak in thunderings from a cloud. That the Lord would descend whenever Moses was in the top of the mount. And they would be able to look upon that and witness it. And realize that there is a divine, mighty God in heaven that's able to do these kind of things. No one else can speak and the earth trembles. No one else can speak and the plagues of Egypt are evidenced and made known. There's only one God that's able to do that. Of all the times, of all the places that God manifested Himself in a very real, undeniable way to mankind, now in these last days, He's spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. And so as Jesus came and He was fulfilling His earthly ministry, the Father was trying to manifest through Jesus. This is the one that I'm speaking through. This is my Son. It's not just another man among men. It's not just a prophet among prophets. But this is the Son of God. And Peter recognized that. Lord, I believe You. Lord, I take You for Your word. I take You for what You say. I've seen the evidence of it. It's witness within my heart. I hope this morning that every one of us can bear witness. Lord, I know who You are. Lord, You witnessed it to my heart and my soul. I've seen for myself. It's more than just secondhand knowledge that I have. Whenever in the face of all the opposition and pressure that we face in society around us, in the doubts that are brought up, in the questions that are raised of the authenticity of the gospel, whenever this world tries to undermine the gospel that we believe in, do we have it settled? Are we fully persuaded in my mind? I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of John, the 9th chapter. John 9, we'll read all of this. But Jesus came unto one with His disciples that was blind from birth. And He healed him. The disciples witnessed it. The man obviously witnessed it. He was for the first time able to see through his eyes. Those looking on of the crowd and multitude around, they saw it also. And were able to bear witness of it. News of that began to travel. The 8th verse will pick up. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen Him that He was blind, said, is not this He that sat and begged? Some said, this is He. And others said, He is like Him. But He said, I am He. Therefore said they unto Him, how are thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto Him, where is He? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. For the sake of time, they brought Him before the Pharisees, and the Pharisees took note This was done on the Sabbath day. They began to reason among themselves. They had seen on one hand a miracle that had been done. Man can't do that. Whenever a man is blind from birth and is never seen, there's no explanation for how this can happen. But yet, on the other hand, I have a preconceived notion about this man. I already have made up in my mind that this man cannot be the Son of God. It goes against everything that I want to believe of what you're saying of this man. If you say that this Jesus healed you, then it's going to cut across what I'm trying to say. It's going to cut across my saying this is just another man trying to cause an insurrection. And so they questioned him. They grilled him. Are you really he? They called the parents in. Is this your son that was healed? And how was he healed? And they said, we can say that this is our son. But he's of age. You ask him and he'll tell you. And they turned and continued to question. 24th verse. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. I can't stand here and reason with you. I can't stand here and debate theology with you. You're schooled in all the understanding of the law and of the prophets, and you spend your time doing this. I don't have the wisdom and the understanding. You know this thing, this salvation is nothing great and lofty and high that we can't get a hold of. It's not something that's so far removed that I have to have a doctorate of theology to really be able to get a hold of it. But I need to be able to have a revelation to my heart. Amen. This man had something that despite all the reasoning that they said, we know this man's a sinner. We know what you said happened couldn't really have happened. Whether he be a sinner or not, whatever you're debating, I don't know. I don't understand all of that. But there's one thing that I know. I was blind one time. I couldn't see before. And now I'm looking at you right now. Now you go and explain how that happened. I can't explain how it all happened, but I know this man called Jesus did this for me. He began to reason with them and asked them, would you also be his disciple? You're asking so many questions now. You've seen what he's done. We know that no man can do this except he were of God. The 33rd verse. They became angry with him and cast him out of the temple. We don't want to hear that. It goes against what I believe and what I want to think about this man. You leave. You depart from among us. He went out. And it says, the 35th verse, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. I want to stress again, this man didn't have all the answers. He didn't have it all clear in his mind of how this worked, but I know something. There's something that you can't take away from me. The Lord's done something for me in my life. Every one of us that are here need to be able to have that place in my life that I've come to. The Lord's done this thing for me. I don't care how you reason. I don't care what you're able to figure out with the Hadron Particle Collider. And I don't care what you think you're able to prove by science. I once was blind and now I see, and you can't take that away from me. Yeah. There's no amount of reasoning. There's no amount of logic that you can present to me. I'm not saying that I'm smarter than you are. I'm not saying that I'm able to stand and debate and reason, but there's one thing I know. The Lord's done a work in my life and in my heart. Jesus, whenever he heard that he was cast out, he wasn't finished with him. But take notice here that it said, when he had found him. Jesus went looking for this man. This man that he had seen what Jesus had done. And there was something in his heart that reached out. I believe in this man. I know I don't have all the answers. You know, if we're here this morning and we don't have all the answers. You know, if we're here this morning and we still have questions in my mind. I don't know how all this can work. I can't figure all this out. You know, Jesus wants to come searching for us where we're at. If we'll be honest before him. If we'll have that experience, Lord, I'm going to follow in everything that I've seen and known. Jesus will want to search us out and find us where we are and give us the understanding. As he did that, he said, "Lord, I believe." There where we heard last night about Nicodemus. Nicodemus, was he a ruler of the Jews? So we heard that came and he heard the words of Jesus. And there was something, I believe, that stirred within his heart. I don't know whether Nicodemus came out to hear Jesus for the reason or the purpose of believing on him. I'm inclined to think that he didn't. But whenever he came and he heard Jesus speak, I believe there was something that touched his heart. There was something that pricked him. This isn't just another man. This isn't just someone that's up speaking. There's something here that cut against me. I wonder if he lost some sleep that night. I wonder if it was rolling around in his mind and he couldn't get it off his mind. There's something about this man. I want to learn some more about him. There are accounts of those that were sent out to try to trap Jesus in his own words and to bring them back before the rulers of the Pharisees that they might give account unto them. They went out and they heard the words that Jesus spoke and Jesus reasoned with them. I believe it was the account of the tribute money. Whenever they asked him, were trying to tempt him, saying, "Who do we give this unto?" And he said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar," and so forth. They heard the words that he spoke, and it says they asked not any more question. The wisdom with which he spake. There was power that he spoke with. There was something about the words of this man called Jesus. That it, the purpose of heart that I had, I can't do it. They came back unto the rulers of the Pharisees, and they looked at him coming back without Jesus, and said, "What's the reason of this? Why are you coming back without Jesus that you were supposed to bring?" Their answer was, "Never a man spoke like this man spoke." We went and heard him. I had a purpose. I was going another direction. But my path crossed one named Jesus. My path came across one that spoke, and it did something within my heart. They had heard a lot of people speak. They had heard a lot of people that were well-learned, get up, no doubt, and expound upon the law. But there's something about this man that I've never heard anything like it. There were those, if you look in, I believe it's the 12th chapter of John. John 12 and 42 says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." There were many also, this bears out, they heard Jesus as well. They heard his teaching. They no doubt felt something within them as well that says, "I believe this man." Within themselves, they thought, "There really is something here. This man speaks truth." But yet, whenever it came to being fully persuaded, they drew back. Whenever it came to going back in the fear of men and their own reasoning, they were secret followers, if you will. "I'm not willing to go all that distance." If you look at the 37th verse as well, it said there were another group of people that though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Jesus explained in one place that the reason that he performed the miracles that he performed was that those looking on might be able to realize that he came to do the works of his Father. It was for their sakes that we're looking on to realize there's something divine here. There's something beyond just man's works here. For the sake of their own belief and their faith. And there were many that looked on it and they saw it and they recognized there's something here. There's something about this man. But there were many also that though he had done many miracles, they didn't believe. They turned away in spite of all that he had done and all that he had worked before them. You know, sometimes I've thought, "Lord, Jesus, if only you were to come in the flesh again, you could clear up so many questions. You could clear up so much of the confusion that there is in the religious world. If you would just come back in the flesh again." But you know, at that time when Jesus was in the flesh, there were many that still didn't believe. There were many that still had their own preconceived ideas. And they followed that and they resisted even though the Lord had done so many things to manifest Himself unto them, to show that this is the words of life. There were many that drew back and didn't believe. You know, there are many also today that draw back and don't believe. No, Jesus is not still walking literally upon the earth. But you know, I present to you, He's done many mighty works before many of us. He has given us everything that we need as evidence that this is the truth. That this is the Son of God. That there is something about this. The Lord is faithful unto every one of us to reveal Himself unto us. You remember Peter, whenever Peter gave the confession, the testimony to the Lord. Lord, though all men should forsake You, though all men be offended at You, You take My word on this. I won't be. Lord, it doesn't matter what anyone else does. I won't be offended. I'll stick by You to the end. But we know what happened to Peter. As the guards came and they took Jesus and said, all the disciples ran and they fled. But Peter is said he stayed behind and he followed afar off. There was still something in Peter that said, I want to follow this man. I still have an allegiance unto him. I want to see what happens to him. But he followed in the shadows. You know, I wonder how many people today still have a desire. I know that there's something to this. I know the Lord's talked to me before. I know that there's truth to this. And I want to be able to follow it. But I'm not willing to go all the way. I'm not willing to stand up and say, I'm one of His also. You want to take Him, you take me also. Because I believe this man. I've said that I'm going with Him until the end. And so it was that Peter made the first mistake there. Well, first mistake was he didn't seek the Lord in tears and crying whenever Jesus told him that he would betray him. After that, it said that whenever he followed afar off, you know that's the first step that we take in the wrong direction. If we follow afar off, we'll find ourselves in a place that we'll deny the very essence of who He is. I'm thankful that Jesus, in His time here, did everything He could that those that were honest would believe on Him. He said He spake in parables that those that had ears to hear could hear. Those that wanted to be able to hear. You know, those of us today that have a heart to know. Those of us that will be honest before the Lord and truly have an honesty of heart and desire. Lord, I want to know of Your ways. Lord, I want to know more about You. I've gotten a taste, and Lord, I want more of that. Will be faithful to reveal Himself unto us. And give us everything that we need. We might be able to have a faith that will stand. You know, I'm thankful that Jesus came back and He found that man. I'm thankful that whenever Peter failed Him, He gave him another opportunity. Whenever Thomas doubted Him and said, I won't believe unless I see it for myself, I'm thankful that Jesus came and gave him that opportunity. Whenever John the Baptist was locked in prison and he began to wonder and sent word, asked Jesus, are You really He? Are You really the one that I'm supposed to stake my life on here? I'm thankful that Jesus didn't say, He ought to know by now. He's already seen, but He knew the reason. He knew the question. He knew the doubts that he had in his mind and the honesty of his heart. You know, the Lord knows where every one of us this morning are. The Lord knows the condition of our hearts and the honesty or lack thereof that we have before Him. And the Lord desires that every one of us be able to have a clear revelation and a clear understanding of who He is and of His Word. The Lord will be faithful to reveal Himself to us, even in our own weakness and our own questions. I don't have all the answers. I don't know how all this could work. Lord, I can't stand and explain how all this works. But Lord, I believe in You. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. I know the one that I've believed on. It's not just something vague. It's not just rumors and secondhand knowledge that I'm building my life upon. I know Him. I know Him personally. I know the one in whom I have believed.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so we've looked at how the transition happened from the law and the prophets whenever the Lord spake unto them through the thunderings and through the prophets to the time that He said, now you listen to Jesus. Now you hear His words and you He it is that bears witness of the words that I have. But the time came that Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. You're not going to have Me always with you. I'm not always going to be here to be able to perform the miracles before every generation in a way that you can see it with your little eyes. But it's expedient that I go away, that I send a comforter. And he will be, you can read this in the 14th and 16th chapters of John, he'll be the one that'll teach you all things. He'll lead you into the truth. He'll give you understanding. He'll bring back to your remembrance things that you heard that you didn't completely understand. It is the Holy Spirit through which the Lord speaks unto every one of us. By His Son, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And you can read into the book of Acts as Jesus had gone back and was resurrected. Now Peter stood up and there was something about Peter. There was something different about him. There was something that gave weight to the words that he spoke. It was no longer Peter. No doubt the ones that had known Peter before had known the way that Peter was. I wonder if they kind of rolled their eyes when he got up again. And then they start hearing, wait a minute, there's something different here. There's something different about this man. And whenever Stephen went out, it says that he was full of the Holy Spirit and of power. Whenever he went and he began to speak them before those in the synagogue and those that were listening, they had to take notice of him. There was a weight behind the words that he spoke. And it says that they were cut to their hearts. You know what that was? It wasn't Stephen. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't Paul. But it was the Holy Spirit bearing witness to the words that were given. Because now it's through the Holy Spirit that the Lord talks to every one of our hearts. Through the Holy Spirit that He comes to reveal Himself unto us. Amen. And the power and anointing through which they spoke, it cut their hearts. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit that He will reprove the world of sin. In other words, He'll convict the world. He'll convince the world of their need of Him. By the Holy Spirit to bring an understanding, I have a need. I'm in a place that this that I've heard, it cuts against me. It cuts right across the place that I was at. And just as the words that Jesus spoke when it cut to their heart, now by the Holy Spirit's dealings in our life, the Lord will cut across right where we are. The Lord is faithful to show Himself and reveal Himself unto every one of us. Paul said, I don't come to you in words of man's wisdom. I don't come to you in demonstration or any of those things. My speech is contemptible. But I come to you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It is the Spirit through which many, many that heard the words of Paul and others were convicted. Realize that the words that he speaks, they're not just words. You know, there are none of us as ministers that expect you to just take our word for it. Just because we're a man that stands behind this place, you are required to take our word for it. I think of the ones at Berea. It says that they were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness of mind. I have a hungering. I have a desire. I want to hear what's brought out. But I also want to know. I want to know that what you're saying is from heaven. They are the words of life. By the Holy Spirit bearing witness unto it, it's more than just man. It says they went home and they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things be so. Lord, help us to be diligent. Lord, help us not to be lazy spiritually. That I want to just pick my own way and I have my own ideas of how it's supposed to be. But the Lord is wanting to reveal Himself, I believe, to every one of us in a greater way. Through meetings like this, through visitations of the Holy Spirit in our lives, through the crossroads of our lives where we come face to face. Paul came to that place we heard about also on the road to Damascus. He came face to face with one that spoke to him from heaven. Whenever we come to those places, the Lord wants us to take heed to what He has to say. The Lord wants us to receive the words that He has for us. Like to turn in closing to the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. I would today that every one of us be fully persuaded in our minds. We need that. You know, in our day and age that we live in, if there is a shadow of doubt, if there is a place that I think this is right, I think it sounds right, it sounds logical, I'm willing to accept this because I've heard it. I'm willing to accept it just because it seems like the right thing to do. There'll come a time that it'll be pulled out from under us. But every one of us need that revelation and to be fully persuaded of it. You can't take it away from me, because it's not of man. It's not man's words that I'm following, but it is the Lord through the Holy Spirit that's revealed Himself unto me. And it's that that I follow that has persuaded me and convinced me beyond all doubt. But you know, there's one thing that's just as bad as not being persuaded at all, and that's to be almost persuaded. I'd like to look at the 26th chapter of Acts and Paul's preaching. Acts 28, Paul was preaching unto King Agrippa. Said in the 27th verse, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, I hear something, Paul, in what you're saying. I'm almost convinced. I realize there's truth to it. I realize there's weight behind the words that you say. As Paul was preaching unto Felix, it said that he trembled whenever he heard what Paul had to say, because it cut across his licentious lifestyle. The words that he said, it had power and it cut him, right, and exposed him for who he was. As Agrippa was listening here, he was almost persuaded. I took real note of a story, news story that I heard just recently. I read of a young man, a college student, that was driving from Texas through Alabama. And he sent a text message to someone. This text message said, I really need to stop texting. I could die in a car accident. That was, I believe, the last text message that he sent before he plunged off a cliff, texting on his phone. You know, he had an understanding, I need to quit what I'm doing. And he sent that. He had an acknowledgement of it, that what I'm doing, there's danger in. But he didn't come to the place that he was fully persuaded of it. Fully persuaded. Jesus said, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed the words that I say, more than just a head knowledge? More than just an acknowledgement, you know what, I need to go home and think about this. I need to make myself a better person. But who will believe it to the point that they say, Lord, I change my life. Lord, I lay aside all. I forsake all. Lord, I believe the words that you say. Lord, I stake my life upon it to be fully persuaded. More than just a head knowledge. More than just an acknowledgement that there's something here. There's something to it. But that I come to the place that I'm willing to give up all. This boy, Chase Boney, didn't quite get to that place. He knew. He had a head knowledge, I really shouldn't be doing this. I wonder how many people today have had just enough light shown on their pathway, have acknowledged just enough of it to know, I really shouldn't be doing this. I really shouldn't be going down this path. I really need, there really is something here that the Lord's wanting to get across to me. You know, one of these days I need to stop and listen. One of these days I need to take action on that. Lord, help us that we not get to the point, as this young man Chase, I know I need to, and we careen off the cliff. Or as Agrippa, that says, almost, I'm almost there, I'm almost persuaded, I'm almost believe enough to take action upon it. Paul said, I would to God, not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am. Except these bonds. Oh, don't stop there. Don't stop at being almost persuaded. Don't stop at having a head knowledge that there's something here. But go on and be altogether persuaded. Let yourself be completely and fully convinced in my mind and in my heart. Lord, this is the way. Lord, I'm in the place that you want me to be in. Lord, this is the truth. I would that you were altogether persuaded. The Lord has that place for us, that we can go through life with a certainty. We can go through life with a sure foundation under us, that I don't have to question and wonder. I don't have to, and yes, the Lord has a place for us, that if I'm seeking, the Lord will meet me there. The Lord will find me in that place. But you know, I don't have to go through life never able to come to an understanding, never able to get a hold of it, never able to fully comprehend or grasp it. The Lord wants to reveal Himself to every one of us in a very real, a very personal way, a way that no matter what the world does, I say I've got a hold of it. That's what we need. If ever there was a time that we need an experience and a revelation that is solid and steadfast and cannot be shaken, it's now. Lord, help us that we be fully persuaded today. Amen.